I've got a backup mouse in my bag. I can give that away, but that's about it. All right, well, we'll go ahead and get started. So last session of the day, thank everybody for showing up. So my name's Chris Hopkins. I'm a technical product manager on the U.S. office team in Redmond. People on my team do or work with various products. We have somebody for project. Probably met him. He's Kyle Miner. He's hanging around the booth today and for the rest of the week. So me and him work quite a bit on the project business and also the Visio business. And I also do some stuff for the people on the Yammer team and the SharePoint team. Prior to this role, I started on this role about 6 months ago, I guess. Prior to that, I was a SharePoint development consultant. And during that life and the years and years before that, I've been just connected to Visio. That was like one of the first, I guess, real corporate jobs that I had after college was working at Visio Corporation. Fell in love with the product, understood it, helped partners build solutions on top of it, and have been working with the product ever since. So I can't seem to get away from it. And people keep asking me, well, you know, like today, right? Project. How can we use Visio with Project? Now, well, that's interesting. Let's take a look. You know, it's all about the data. So I'm not really connected to the project world as much as I am to the SharePoint world and the Visio world. But I think, you know, these objectives here are the big pieces that I want to talk about. They come and ask me, they say, hey, you know what? We need to get this information, the stuff that you do with Visio, out there in the public. You know, some of the demos that I do, people see that stuff, they want to know how I do it, how I put these dashboards, if you will, together, how I use data within Visio, how I do some custom things with my shapes, those sorts of things. So that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the data capabilities with Visio and Visio services, right? How can we connect to any kind of data? Right, I'm going to do some stuff with project data from the web service, but I don't want to focus on, you know, just project data. I just want to focus on the capabilities of Visio and how you can kind of build this stuff into your dashboards. Best practices for data. Obviously, I've got a lot of stuff listed there. I want to make sure hopefully we'll have time to talk about that stuff. I tried to do this session actually last week in an internal training event. The data was different, but you know, the slides and everything were the same. And we got through, I don't know, about five or six of my slides out of like a 40-slide deck. And we just went into demos and people were asking me questions. How do I do this? How do I do that? What do you think about this scenario? I know we've got a packed room, but if there are questions, I would rather, you know, kind of engage at that sort of level than just talk about my slides and do a couple demos and have everybody run off and say, hey, that was some great content. But I still have all these questions, right? So feel free to email me, right? Chris Hopkins, chris.hopkins@microsoft.com. Any questions about, you know, Visio, Project, SharePoint, integration? I mean, that's kind of my role, is to connect with the community and, you know, help people understand the technology and what they can do with it. So I'm always happy to answer those kind of questions. Who's using Visio 2013 today, like the client on their desktop? Okay, so we have a few of you, okay. Who's got exposure to Visio services in SharePoint? All right, so about the same number of people. Are anybody doing anything custom with their shapes and connecting to data externally? Two people, okay. No, that's great. That's great. That's a perfect audience. I didn't want everybody to like raise their hand and say, oh, yeah, we're all connecting to data and we're doing some cool things with our Visio shapes. Visio services, we launched Visio services in SharePoint 2010, right? And I guess when we launched it, it was a way to share that Visio content out with just anybody in the organization, right? You know, you're sharing your documents on SharePoint with all the richness that SharePoint has and document libraries and, you know, all the functionality that's there. people are putting in their Visio diagrams, storing all that content up there. Maybe you have a process repository, a bunch of processes you've documented around your projects, that sort of thing. But there is really no good way to share that information out to anybody except you going in there, owning the document, exporting it to PDF or some other format, sending that out. Maybe you're storing things side by side. Like I said, I've been working with the Visio product for quite a long time, and that was, you know, an ask from the community for as long as I can remember, right? And so we built Visio Services to take care of that problem, right? We've got these people in the organization that are building this content, and we just want people to consume that content, right, very easily through the SharePoint UI. So Visio Services really has two main capabilities that I talk about. One is the rendering capability of the diagrams and the Visio content that you have in those diagrams. The other piece is the data connectivity, right, and the rules that you build into your diagrams that, you know, drive the diagram with that data, right? I don't know how many people here were in Krishna's session earlier that I was helping out with. Okay. So you saw some of the shapes he was doing, some of the stuff with the data graphics that he was doing where, you know, you've got a flag, a green flag and a red flag, and you got some data property attached to that flag. And so, you know, the flag changes from red to green. That means there's some data property behind it that's changing. You know, yes, I'm on vacation. No, I'm not on vacation. That was kind of the scenario that he did. And that was a pretty simple scenario. And going through the UI that he went through, right, shows, you know, all those rules that get built into that graphic behind the scenes, but everything was done for you, right? And maybe you're thinking, well, that's fine, but the dialogue that he was showing, you know, there weren't a lot of options there. There were some smiley faces and some flags and some traffic lights, but, you know, I've seen some really rich stuff being created in Visio. What else can I do with that product? So from the rendering aspect, right, we render anything you want to put in your diagram, not just Visio shapes, right? And that's a screenshot. I didn't change it. I was thinking about it, but one of the demonstrations that I do is taking a floor plan out of AutoCAD and throwing it into a Visio diagram, taking some bitmaps off the web, overlaying that, dropping some Visio shapes on top of that, overlaying that, and connecting all those individual objects to some data records. So I really do mean that Visio is going to render anything that you can put in that diagram, right? From clip art on the web all the way to, excuse me, of course, our own objects that you get from the stencils or anything that you draw and create that's custom. We do that through HTML and PNGs today. In 2010, we used Silverlight. And again, that was the first, I guess, release of Visio Services that we had. And Visio, we were thinking, well, Visio is a vector-based diagramming tool, right? These vectors that we're drawing a line from point A to point B, right? If we use Silverlight, we can render that really clearly. And as people zoom in and zoom out, we can keep that diagram looking really, really nice. Whereas if you just, you know, export to PDF and you zoom in on that floor plan, it's not going to look so good once you're trying to look at a specific office. Now, in this release, we're doing everything with PNG, and you might say, well, you know, you've kind of downgraded the capabilities there for the rendering, because as I zoom in, I'm probably not going to get as good a quality as I did with the Silverlight. And I would say, yes, that's true, but we serve up a number of different images based on how that user is interacting with the diagram. So if they just stay zoomed out and they're looking like in a map of the world, you know, we're not going to get very detailed. We're just going to serve up a real quick image. As they zoom in on Washington State, you know, we might think, okay, well, let's give them a higher quality image, you know, as they're zooming in so that their experience is a lot better. Some of the questions that come up about the rendering capability is the client licensing, right? You don't need any special licenses to use Visio Services inside of SharePoint. It's built into SharePoint. You don't need a client access license or the Visio Viewer installed or really any components at all installed, just a browser that supports HTML and PNG. So unlike what we used to do with Silverlight, right, that required a plug-in for the browser, right, and kind of limited some of the scenarios that we had for, you know, mobile workflows and, you know, Windows phones, iPhones, iPads, these kinds of things. So now, you know, that just lets us be completely open. But the same capabilities here, so panning, zooming, hyperlinks, being able to see what data is connected to those shapes. Krishna's demo earlier, you saw the new commenting features and the new collaboration features that were added to 2013. You know, all the panning and zooming stuff, that's been around since we released 2010. So nothing around that's really changed. And of course, it's in the cloud and in on-premise. So if you're a, you know, E3, E4 customer or, you know, education customer, wherever your Office 365 SKU is, you probably have Visio services as part of that. You may be using it, you may not, but it's probably there and enabled. So the second piece to that, like I said, is the data capabilities of Visio services. Now, from my perspective, and this little comment down here at the bottom of the deck where I say client equals dashboard designer, you know, I guess from a longtime user of Visio, so used to building a diagram out and just emailing that diagram to people, right? You're not really building a dashboard that people are going to interact with. But now, with the data capabilities that are in Visio, setting up hyperlinks, building detailed drill down pages, these sorts of things, and getting that published into SharePoint, you really are using it as a designer for the user's experience that's going to be part of your dashboard, right? Now, they might not know it's Visio services. You're going to put some web parts on your SharePoint site, tell Visio services what diagrams to serve up in those web parts and what the interactivity is for the users, whether they're allowed to, you know, click on hyperlinks or refresh the data or, excuse me, add comments, that sort of thing. But I really do think of, you know, the Visio client now as that designer for that dashboard experience and thinking about, well, okay, I'm going to be building this dashboard for my GM, and he's going to be expecting certain things and navigate a certain way. And oh, by the way, he's got a touch device. He's got an iPad, right? So he's going to go to a SharePoint site on his iPad, and it's a Visio diagram, and he's going to click on a shape or touch a shape. How do I get the hyperlinks to work, and how do I get the data refresh to work in that scenario, and all those sorts of things. So they're not just static snapshots. Every time somebody visits the diagram in the browser, Visio Services is going to determine whether or not it needs to do a data refresh. So if you've connected to an Excel workbook or something more advanced, even up to SQL Server stored procedures, right? When they click on that diagram and have that rendered in the browser, Visio Services is going to say, hey, do I need to go back to this data connection, do a data refresh? What is the administrator set up if it's like an on-premise scenario? You know, and it makes that determination for each of the users that visit that diagram. Let's see. Yeah, we already went over a client. So let's look at a couple just examples of, excuse me, of dashboards. I had a cold last week, and my voice is still a little bit rough. So sorry about that. So this was the dashboard that Krishna showed you in his demonstration earlier this morning. And there's a few things going on here. And that's kind of the stuff that we want to drill down into and see, you know, kind of how he really put this together. Because over on the right, we've got some Excel web parts showing some charts out of a workbook. Right here, dead center, of course, we have the Visio web part. And you can see if I hover over some of these shapes, I get some new options that surface to me, right? The link integration that he was talking about earlier. So, you know, maybe what we're doing is we're looking at that shape and we're saying, okay, well, that shape is connected to this particular record out of the Project Data web service. And that project record says that whoever that is, let's say it's Krishna, right? Krishna is the owner of that project. And so let's take the owner and show their link presence on top of that shape, right? And then some other things, some other SharePoint web parts down below, and they're connected through web WebPart connections, those sorts of things. This piece right here, just to kind of explain it a little bit, is not WebPart connections, and it's not something you design within your Visio diagram except for the data that you're connected to, but that's actually some custom HTML and JavaScript that's been added to that page, right? So again, we're kind of thinking about our shape design, the data that we're connected to, and then when we get that content into SharePoint, we're also thinking, what else can we do in SharePoint, right, to add more functionality to this dashboard or to this diagram? And that was just a simple thing. I mean, there's probably 10 lines of JavaScript code that says, oh, you clicked on a shape. That shape has a, you know, project owner name property, which is Krishna. So let's throw Krishna's email into this this link control, and it pops up, right? So it is JavaScript. It is a developer scenario, but I don't think of it as like a complex dashboard or application development task. Yeah, question. Good question. The question was about reporting services versus Visio. PowerView versus Visio, all these other advanced BI tools that we have versus Visio. That question comes up all the time, and I think it's just a matter of what your role is and, you know, what you have access to, right? The technology that you have access to at your company, and then your skill level. Right, and I think it's just a determination of, you know, what tool do I think is going to best tell the story with what I have access to and the knowledge that I have. I don't think everybody in your organization is going to go into reporting services and create a report that meets their needs and publish it out to everybody else in the organization. Right, but I think everybody in the organization could probably go into Visio and draw some squares and rectangles and connect that to some data and put something together that's compelling and tells their story and publish that to SharePoint, right? Because they're creating the diagram, they're connecting it to data, they're saving it to a document library, and then they're sending out a link to everybody that says, here's my dashboard. Now, they might not go this far, right? Those same people that don't know how to create something or reporting services, they probably aren't going to go in and write some JavaScript and HTML and inject it into the page and do all this extra stuff. But I like to show this because it kind of it shows these different tiers of, you know, creating the diagram. Let's go over here. So this is my version of Krishna's dashboard. This is the one that I used a demo off of. But this is just a Visio diagram. This is the full screen UI for Visio services. So I was in a document library and I clicked on the Visio file in the document library. And this is the experience that I get. So this is kind of, you know, like stage one of, or maybe it's really the middle stage, because, you know, stage one is producing the content in the client and then publishing it. But here it's like, okay, well, this is a pretty good experience, because they can, you know, they can zoom in, they can zoom out, they can see the data that's been refreshed on these objects. I have hyperlinks that I built into these shapes within the Visio client. Just click on the shape and click on the insert hyperlink button. And, you know, am I going to a website? Am I going to a document? Am I going to another page in this Visio diagram or a different Visio diagram? And in this case, it takes me to a different page where I've got additional information. You know, I'm building my drill downs in this case, right? And I want to show very specific things. And like Krishna was showing, again, this is just a different view of the same data that he was working with. But, you know, if I zoom in here, I've got some shapes that I've organized to look a certain way and tell that story. So IT's red, something's going on there, right? They're managing a certain number of projects within their department. Here's their work, here's their spend, these kind of metrics, right? And then, of course, if I click again, because I did some more hyperlinks and I want to drill down even further, and I want to see a dashboard based on, you know, the individual projects that IT is working on, right? Again, just another page in my Visio diagram where I've laid these shapes out Some of these are data graphics. Some of these are I've customized a little bit, which I'll show you, and then connected everything to data, and it's getting refreshed. As you can see, is that when I click on, let's see here. Let's go back to one of these. Yeah, it goes by really quickly. A little box in the middle shows up and says refreshing, which basically means that Visio Services is determining whether it needs to contact the data source again and do a re-render of the diagram and provide that stuff back to you. But, I mean, does that get back to your question with the reporting services? You know, it's just what you're trying to show and, you know, the capabilities of the system. You know, it's like one of the partners that I was working with, they were trying to create a bar chart, right, connected to certain data properties. And I asked them, I was like, well, they were asking me questions about Visio, right, how to get the shapes to do certain things based on the data that was connected to them. And I said, well, why are you using Visio to do a bar chart? And then he showed me, you know, the production bar chart that he was trying to do that had special graphics on it, and like, you know, automobiles on the top of the different bars going up and down. And you can't do that in some of the other tools. But in Visio, you can draw whatever you want, make it move around, change color, these sorts of things, if you know enough about how the product works. And so that's usually, you know, when I'm looking at things, it's like, well, okay, I need a bar chart, probably Excel, maybe Power View, but what is that? How is that bar chart going to be formatted? What's going to be on it, right? And we've got similar things in Visio. I mean, right here, this data bar, right? One of our data graphic element types, which can be configured a number of different ways. Krishna showed that a little bit in his demo this morning. But we just connected it to data, and then that data property for remaining work, we said, okay, well, what does that mean? Is it a percentage? Is there a fixed value? You know, is it currency? What is it? And we format all of that stuff in Visio within the Visio UI. Let's see here. Oh, that's kind of the same thing. Did I lose my link? Yeah. Okay, that's fine. So, let's see. Yeah, I'll get back to that. That's fine. Let's go back to the slides quickly here. Wrong machine. So that's kind of some of the stuff that you know, I want to go through when we do the next demo, which is basically tearing apart those shapes and the data connections and seeing how we put that kind of stuff together to get you guys started on some of this stuff. This is an example of a real dashboard that our sales team in Latin America uses. And you can see the same kind of idea here where they've got this map and they can click on different shapes, right? I mean, they're showing traffic light KPI type scenarios here, but they're just Visio shapes with hyperlinks that take them to other pages where they've detailed out more information about that particular country, what their sales are and the breakdowns and, you know, a whole bunch of different data metrics that they have on that. And of course, then they're rolling up stuff here, right, to see that on these things. Here's another idea, and this one's actually pretty popular, and maybe with this audience it'll resonate a little bit, but what's being shown here is kind of a process repository, right? And all that we did, there's no code or anything here, all we did was take a document library and stick it on a page next to the Visio web part, and we turned on the web part connections. It says when you click on one of these Visio diagrams, just display it over here in this Visio web part. And so now you've got this area where you're searching, you've filtered down, you know, specific process diagrams. People are building UIs around this so that they've got one central repository for all the process documentation in the organization. And then they've got one single place where they can come here and start clicking through documents and browsing through the processes and doing searches and all these sorts of things, right? I just wanted to show this because this is a pretty compelling scenario. It doesn't look as nice as some of the other ones, but I think the navigation and finding that information is pretty nice. A similar view to like what Krishna showed earlier in one of his demos. You know, IT, obviously, I think there's like 60-something percent of our customer base is IT Pro, and it has been, you know, forever. It's just IT Pros love Visio, and they love building diagrams about their infrastructure. And of course, we can overlay data about the infrastructure and then show those updates, you know, real time in Visio services as you're looking at your dashboards. And it just depends on what kind of data we want to connect to. Krishna mentioned the Operations Manager tool that we have that connects Visio directly to Operations Manager to pull that data in. But you could be getting data from a number of different sources and connecting that to your shapes. So this is another example, and this is in my demo that we'll talk about. I just want to show this and talk about design and data a little bit, because when you look at this diagram here, and I did not draw this, okay? I don't have the artistic talent to go through there and put the right colors together and build the backgrounds and that kind of stuff. My team actually hired a creative agency, and we said, we want a nice looking org chart, right? Of course, they didn't use Visio to build it, but the cool story about that is that Visio is a vector-based diagramming tool, right? A lot of those design firms use tools like Adobe Illustrator, which are also vector-based. So they built this completely inside of Visio, and the guy that I was working with said, well, I don't know anything about, you know, this data connectivity stuff in Visio or how to get these bar charts to move, but I can make everything look nice and do the right gradients that you need and all that kind of stuff. So when he was done, he just sent me that file. I copied and pasted it onto my Visio page, and then I went into these individual objects that he created in Illustrator, which end up being Visio shapes when I bring it in, and I set up the rules. I said, okay, well, you're a bar. You're going to be, you know, this length based on this calculation, right? And so, you know, percentages or headcount allocations or whatever that happens to be. Just going through and format, or even the colors, right, of the line around that shape. It's like, well, you're green if this, you're red if this, you're orange if that, et cetera, right? And so he designed everything and built it in a different tool, and I was able to just basically paste it into Visio and change some of the logic behind the shapes that Visio added to those shapes when they were imported, right, and put that stuff behind. So, you know, thinking about things like, obviously we have images, those people, pictures aren't Visio shapes, they're just bitmaps that the designer pulled from somewhere, stock images, and included those in the diagram. I talked about, you know, CAD, floor plans, and all kinds of stuff, right? I mean, if you can copy and paste it onto the Visio page, you're golden at that point. So what about the data? All right, where do we get our data from? How do we connect data to a shape? What else can we do with that data once it is connected to the shape? And those are the things to think about when we're putting together, you know, your dashboards, or really when you're trying to, in your mind, try to see what that dashboard, what you want it to look like, and then how you're going to get it there. Now, this view here, this is just all talking about data graphics. And again, Krishna talked about data graphics earlier in his session. So I just wanted to talk a little bit more about these things, because they're really just Visio shapes. I mean, the flags, the traffic lights, the text callouts, the data bars, they're Visio shapes that already have some of those rules that I'm talking about just built into them, right? And they do have very specific scenarios that they're good for. But the big question that I always get from customers is, well, okay, you have smiley faces and check marks and arrows, but, you know, we want, you know, some different logos from different divisions in our company based on, you know, different metrics or, you know, these sorts of things. So you can definitely build your own. And the nice thing about Visio 2013 is that you can data connect, connect your data to anything that's on the page, right? And then what you do with that later is just like up to you. You can use the simple data graphics like you see here, where I just basically drew two rectangles, and then I drew some more rectangles inside there, and I'll go through this and just show it to you. And I connected a data record from project data, you know, n number of times, and just visualizing different properties from that data record. You know, one space I'm showing project health, the one below it I'm showing risk rating. Maybe those two columns are coming from the same record and the same data source. That's fine. They can come from different data sources. But I'm just drawing some simple Visio shapes and then formatting colors and setting data graphics. So it's very easy to set up some of the custom views. Now, shape behavior is a little bit different, right? If you look at this shape over here on the right, there's nothing out of the box that you're going to get that looks like that, right? Again, that was one of those shapes that the designer built for us. I said, hey, I want some cool speedometer-looking shape. Here's an example. He went with it. He came up with this, and again, he gave it back to me, and I said, okay, well, I know how to make the text dynamic based on the properties that I'm linking data from. And really, the only thing else that I need to do is I need to make that needle swing back and forth. And it's just a visio shape, so it's just a matter of XY coordinates versus what my data values are. But just knowing how to get in there and set that up, that's kind of the key piece, and I'll show you that. But everything, all the formulas, once we get in there and I show you this stuff, are rendered and refreshed by Visio services. So, you know, setting up relationships between shapes and data, you know, we look at everything, we recalculate everything, and we send everything back in the browser. So I outlined this as just kind of a quick process, you know, linking to the data record set, you know, or figuring out what data record sets do you need to link to get the visualization you're looking for. We support multiple data record sets within a Visio diagram. Now what that means is if I create like the org chart that Krishna was working with earlier, he connected to just some simple data in an Excel workbook, right? And then he was done, right? After he connected to the data, he linked the data to some of the shapes, and they said, okay, well, I've got vacation balance, and I've got these other data properties that came in from this Excel workbook. That's the data I've connected to. Now I got to visualize that with some flags and some traffic lights and such. What he didn't do was go through and connect it to other data sources on top of that to bring in other key data points for additional visualization, right? I'll show you some of that, but Visio supports like 254 different data record sets into a diagram. So if you can find 254 different data sources to mix together, you know, that's fine, go for it. Visio will support it. And then, of course, you have numbers of records per data set, number of columns, and all these sorts of things, but you'll find that Visio is very powerful for connecting to data and setting up these visualizations. The second piece is linking records to your shapes in the diagram. Now, that example that I'm showing there over on the right, the two rectangles with the traffic lights and the other pieces of text in there, I think I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different Visio shapes right there making that up. So I've taken a single record from a data source and I've linked it 7 different times. So each one of those shapes has a link back to that same record because, again, I wanted each one of those shapes to show something a little bit different about that data. And, of course, I grouped them all together, and people that aren't familiar with Visio, they might think, oh, that's one cool visualization that's been created, when in fact I just dropped shapes on top of shapes and formatted them and connected them to data and, you know, made everything look right. So certainly after you connect a record to a shape in your diagram, you're not done. You can connect that record to n number of shapes in your diagram, and you can actually take a single record from every data source that you've brought into Visio and link it to a single shape. So if you're going to aggregate data from different areas of the businesses, maybe Krishna doesn't let me have access to a SQL Server database, right? And he's set up some stored procedures, or he's exporting Excel, or I've got a couple data sources that I manage on my own and it's got different data than his and I want to mash those all up together, but obviously I can't go into his system and, like, you know, write some code to make that happen. I'll just grab these 5 different data sources and pull the 5 different records from each one and link them all into a shape and then do my math there. So there's a lot of different options that we have for doing that. And that's what I was just talking about. I should have forwarded that slide a little bit faster, but that question comes up all the time. Where do I do calculations? Should I, you know, set up my formulas in Excel where my data is coming from, which is getting refreshed from SQL Server maybe, or, you know, I've got some Power Pivot tables set up and I want to do some custom calculations there. It really all depends on what you're comfortable with doing, right, and where you want to set those formulas up. Yeah, question.
Can you pause the
So like that United States map that I had up being the page, and then when people visit it, parameters are getting sent from that page to affect the data refresh back to the map. Is that? So reusing. Okay, yeah, that's a good question. So the question is around parameter passing, and we can talk about that in depth a little bit more, but when we establish a data connection in the diagram, let's say it's to a SQL Server stored procedure, because we know we can pass parameters to a stored procedure in SQL. When you connect to that stored procedure, with, let's say that's our data record set down there in the Visio UI, that particular data record set is going to have a fixed connection string to that data source. And on the server side, without doing some code and stuff server side, right, it's fixed in the diagram, so there's no way to change it or to affect the parameters that are getting passed to it. I have done some tricks in the past with like a different SQL table and knowing who clicked on what and changing it and then causing refresh myself through, you know, some code on the server side and some code on the web part page. But it's definitely not something I recommend doing. It was more something that, can I make this work, rather than is it a supported scenario for Visio services? I would say it's not a supported scenario for Visio services today. So typically what I say is, you know, take that page now, right? Select all, copy, paste to a different page, change the connection string on that page, right? So now you've got project A, you've got project B, and maybe you're doing hyperlinks somewhere in SharePoint to navigate between those two different pages. So that's really your drill down or your pivot, if you will, because Visio doesn't pivot on anything, which that's a question that comes up a lot. And you know, they see people like Krishna and me going through these dashboards and clicking on shapes, and it's like, well, you drilled down into Washington State and that took you to this page that showed all the stores on Washington State, and then you swapped over here. Like, what was he doing earlier? He was doing budget and schedule and a couple other things that he was clicking on. Well, he had created a page for each one of those scenarios, right? So nobody was analyzing the data. You just built up those scenarios so that, you know, management can come in there and go, what does our schedule look like, right? You've defined that scenario for them to look at. They're not pivoting on things and trying to come up with their own conclusions based on the pivot parameters that they've selected. Correct, yeah. So I guess that gets to, does Visio dynamically add and remove items from the diagrams when the data is changing? And that's exactly that. It's no, it doesn't, right? You know, if there was a new column that came into my data record set, Visio is not going to throw up like a new data graphic for it, you know, on that particular shape. I'd have to open up the diagram in Visio and then make the changes that I wanted to make and then save them back to SharePoint. Again, making a very specific scenario that people are going to consume over a period of time, rather than just, you know, at that point in time, clicking on some buttons to pivot the data and see what it is that they're interested in seeing. So this is the Visio diagram. So I'll just walk through this really quickly. So you can see I've got these different pages that I've built in here, right? Everything is contained within this one Visio diagram. Now, for demo purposes, that's usually how I do it. These pages could be in other Visio diagrams, right? Your hyperlinks work across documents. They work to office documents, to websites, all these other different things. So when we come in, let's just do something simple. Let's come in here and look at this map. And again, these are just graphics that were pulled off of, well, in this case, this is the content that was built by the designer, so he was using Illustrator to put these shapes together, right? And they were just easily imported into Visio, just going to insert picture and picking the file that I saved on my hard drive from an Illustrator, right?
So nope. This one, somebody went through and drew this map of the United States state by state and put each one of those states where it should be. So you'd have individual objects. Is that correct?
That is correct. We paid a designer to come up with a nice-looking map, if you will, of the U.S. Now, I've got an, I mean, if you go out to Bing, like right now, right, I can come up here and I can say, oh, I know I've got an internet connection. Well, I can go to Bing and I can search on U.S. map SVG, and I'm going to find a number of different files that I can download that are in SVG format, which is just a vector-based graphic format.
And there's
exactly. Well, sure, that's one of them. There's other vector-based file formats out there on the web that you can bring in. These could be bitmaps too, right? I mean, you could go and find an image of the United States. Obviously, you're not going to have individual shapes that you can move around and click on, but you could certainly do things like, well, let's say that was the case. Let's say this was a bitmap, right? And I wanted to put some metrics on each one of these states in the U.S. If it's a bitmap, I've got a little bit of extra work to do because I probably have to, you know, overlay some kind of Visio shape over the top of that state so I can connect data just to Washington and just to Oregon. And then I've got to do some formatting to, you know, maybe I'm just doing things like, well, let's set my transparency to 100% for the line and the fill, so there's still a shape there that you can click on, right, that the data is connected to, but it's really just this bitmap that Visio can't do anything with, really, except resize and crop. So there's a lot of tricks like that. Yeah, I mean, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to go in and, like, draw the United States by hand or try to find each one of these individual states and, like, put that stuff together. But before we contacted that designer, I did a search, and I must have found like 1,000 different, you know, United States maps that were in vector format that I could just import into Visio and then use, because Visio will break apart all those objects in the vector format into shapes like this. So, and then, of course, depending on who drew it, they may have used some funky colors or formatting or, you know, and you might have to do some cleanup, you know, that kind of stuff. But from my perspective, it was easier to say, hey, designer, just go make me a cool map and give it back to me, and I want individual states so that I can do a demo. So that's where I got those objects. That's how I got them on the page. Like I said, it could be anything. So let's look at the data piece. And before we go into the data piece, I am pulling my, well, this particular, not that particular one. Let's see, project demo. PWA sites. So this is my project. Oh, I lost my internet connection. Okay. Well, we'll keep going. I won't try to troubleshoot that. But I've got my data open already, right? So I put together an Excel workbook, right? If you go into the reporting for Project Online, you go to the Reports tab, which takes you basically a document library where at least pre-built reports are at. They're all in Excel files. They all have the data connections to the project data web services, everything's all set up. The nice thing about that is that I already have a data source for data that I can import into Visio. Excuse me, I can just go through, you know, the Visio data UI, and I'll say link data to shapes, and of course we get, you know, the list of all the data sources that Visio and Visio services are compatible with. And then I can just walk through the Excel workbook option, put in my path to that document library that's out there on that site that I'm not going to be able to connect to now. And you can see that URL right there. And then once I connect to that data, you know, walk through the different ranges and tables and stuff that are defined. Maybe it's a pivot table that's in there. Maybe it's just a sheet of raw data, whatever that is that has been formatted, I can connect to that. So luckily, this particular data for this state is local. So let me just walk through that real quick. And that is that second one, right? No. Let me browse out to my desktop for that. Okay, let me try that again. Excel. Desktop. And there's my project details from OData, right? And I put this spreadsheet together. Right, if we look at this, this view right here obviously didn't come directly from the web service, but I wanted something very simple for that state view. So I went and created a sheet, and I put some formulas. You can see up there I've got just a standard Excel formula that says, hey, go and count from these particular tables, right? And I've pulled in certain properties. There's my risk flags, my risk ratings, etc. That data is all coming out of that project data web service, right? I just did some formulas over that range and connect and built that onto that other sheet, right? So when I'm in Visio, I can come in here and I can say, well, there's my state roll-up sheet. Let's just click on finish to pull everything in from that sheet. If you look down here, we can see that we've even got, you know, the table structure, if you will, that we assumed from the schema of that workbook. So there's state and status. And anytime we hit refresh, whether we're in, you know, the Visio client right here, I can right-click on this and click on my refresh data, and it'll go back and talk to that data source. Or after I publish this, right, we're going to look at that sheet and run the query and get the updated information. So I've got that data source into the diagram. And again, this is a pretty simple scenario because I'll just drag and drop that particular record to that Visio shape, and I've created that link. Visio now established the fact that that record is pushing information into that shape. And I think that's the key piece of information to understand, is that it's a one direction push from the data source into the properties of the shape. And by the properties, I mean if you look over on the right hand side where we see state and status over here in the shape data window, right? Now, when I drop that record on the shape, Visio looked at that shape and said, well, are there any data properties that we already have in that shape, right? Said, no, there's not, so I'm just going to create these two because those are the two columns in my data source, right? Let's say if I already had state in there, Visio would have recognized that and it would have just used the property that already existed, right? And so that's a nice scenario when you have, you know, let's take IT diagrams, for example, because IT diagrams usually have a whole lot of data properties attached to their shapes. You know, IP address and MAC address and server health and hard disk space and all these things. If you're connected to the right data source and you just drag and drop those records, Visio is just going to reconcile that and just push the data into the proper properties that already existed in that shape. And then, of course, for the ones that didn't, we're going to create those properties for you and maintain that connection. So. Well, that's where I'm going next. So good question. So yeah, so right here, right, I connected that information and I've got red, green, and yellow on those shapes. I think more importantly is like, how does that shape know like what color and what to color? What are the properties of that shape that need to be driven by the status? Maybe the status makes the shape get like really, really small, right, or really, really big. You can do that kind of stuff. Maybe it makes it move to a different area of the page. You know, all these different things that are, because Visio is a vector-based application, we can control every aspect about that shape. Now, if that was the bitmap that we were talking about earlier, Visio can't really do anything with it except make it smaller and bigger and crop it. But because it's vector-based, you know, we can change the line formatting and the fill formatting and maybe even move some of the lines around. You know, do different things like that. Like if you think about the bar chart, a rectangle getting larger and smaller as the data changes. So in this particular case, this is all done with data graphics. And so this is the kind of the built-in visual rules that you can configure very easily for any Visio shape. So we know that that shape has n number of properties associated with it, and we probably know what those values are, what they mean, what their ranges are, like maybe it's a percentage of sales or something like that. So when we're dealing with those properties, we can come into data graphics and we can say, okay, well, you know, how do we want to visualize that? I'm just going to turn that data graphic off for that shape, right? So it took all the fill colors and everything out. We're left with basically black. Well, let me create a new one from scratch. So we know we're connected. We know we have these properties. So I'm going to create a new data graphic. And a data graphic is a collection of items. An item can be an icon. An item can be a data bar. An icon could be the formatting, you know, the fill color or the line color, the shape, text labels. You can add a bunch of different things into that data graphic and apply it to that shape. And that way you get kind of the visualization that you want on top of that item. So if I click on new, and I just want to say, you know what, when status equals a certain value, I want to see some color changes, right? Now, Visio picked that for me out of the box. You can see it's not correct. Green is red, red is orange, yellow is green, right? But it really doesn't know anything. It's just picking, like, you know, the most used colors in the palette for this diagram. And then it's saying, well, I see these values across all those properties in the diagram right now. Right? I connected California and Oregon, so I've got one of each, so it was able to find an example value. Right? I can even come in here and say, well, it didn't find purple, so I'm going to insert, you know, and say purple. Right, and pick purple for the color. And I can come through here, of course, and I can pick the real green and the real red. And what does yellow look like? That's probably fine. And I can set these up. So I can insert as many rows as I want for the data values that I want. This particular functionality is not new to 2013. This has been the data graphics, data linking and data graphics started in Visio 2007, but it was like, you know, it was like version one of that functionality, so it was kind of limited. And then when 2010 came out, they said this is the capability that people are going to need to publish dashboards, so they beefed it up. And then, of course, in 2013, they added even more functionality to it. So it's been in the product for a little while. So I've set up those colors. I can even do ranges, right? So why doesn't that show up? I should be able to pick a range, but okay, that's fine. It's probably because that status doesn't support a range because it's not numeric. But I'm going to click on okay and okay again. And of course I have a shape in the background that's selected that has those properties. So it's just asking me, do you want to apply that? And so now we've get this here and I can say purple is my status. And I get the color assigned to that, right? Now, all that happened in the background there was that there's a formula in the fill foreground property of the shape that says, if status equals purple, then RGB value 1, 2, 3, right, for whatever purple is. So we just have a UI there that sets up those rules and assigns them to the shapes. And I'll show you that in a minute. But the same thing here, we've got this data graphic. And actually, because I created, you know, a new one, you can see that different data graphics can be applied across these different shapes depending on what my visualization needs to be, right? If I come back to Washington here, and I say, well, I like the color, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know that that's Washington State, so let's pick state, text, I don't know, heading 3, that's fine. Okay, apply. And so we get this heading, and it's actually the Z order there is different, but there's a text label that is now driven off of the state property, right? And that just happens to be, you know, a text value associated with that shape. So I, sure, you bet. Not a problem. So let me do undo. So that single data graphic that I had, I'm just going to right-click and edit that. And we have the single element that we added to the data graphic. Again, we can have multiple. And so I'm going to add another one. And I'm going to choose a data field, in this case, state. And then I want that to be displayed as text. And so if we look at that there, there's what our data field and our displayed as field looks like. And then for the style, which again is just a Visio shape. It's just, what do you want? Do you want circle? Do you want triangle? Do you want, you know, this heading that, it's probably hard to see there. You can see there's little white dots in there to show you how the text is lined up on those shapes. But I'll pick this heading 3 where things are centered. You know, I can put in a 12-point font, you know, change the border type. You know, there's all kinds of properties I can associate with each one of these. And then I'm just applying that, which applies it to that data graphic. That data graphic is applied to n number of shapes in the diagram, so they all get that change. Now, in this case, there's only the one shape in the diagram that is using this data graphic. Remember, because I created a new one, this shape down here is using this different one that I started the demo off with. But if I switch it, right, there's the Oregon. I don't know why they're all at that lower Z level there, but so there I switched the data graphic to Oregon, and I can switch that one as well to the new one that I like better, right, that's showing my text labels. And so again, I'm just using that to format all of my shapes, you know, driven by the data properties that are associated with those shapes that came from the data that was linked externally, right? Because I can come in here and right-click and say define data, right? Create a new data property. I don't know, let's call it test. And let's give it a number. We'll say it's numeric. And so there's a data property that's not coming from any of my external data sources, right? I can put in, you know, let's say 34. Maybe that's a percentage value, right? So now I've got a new property. Go back to data graphics. Let's edit the same one because I want to add a data bar under Washington. Again, I'll go through new item. Now, if I come into more fields and choose shape data here, we've got test, right? And so I can select that. I can choose data bar, and we'll just pick the defaults, which is just a standard progress bar. And I don't know why that changed to orange, but there we go. So now I've attached that data bar underneath that particular shape. So, and that's a data property that I added. So the data doesn't have to come from an external data source to use data graphics. Now, of course, if I save this to the server and somebody clicks on this diagram in the browser, that's always going to be 34 until somebody has edit capabilities, opens up the Visio diagram, and changes that property manually to some other value, right? So, but then it gets even deeper because you can come in here and, well, let's just do this one. Let's say, except that data doesn't make a lot of sense. Let's switch to a different view. Let's switch to this view. All right, show you how we put some of this stuff together. So like I said, if I select this stuff here, let's make a copy of it, right, and tear this apart. It's just a number of different Visio shapes, right? So that's what that object looks like in my diagram, in my dashboard, right? And each one of those is an independent Visio shape with a different data graphic assigned to it. You can see this one here is text with just this simple little icon up there in the right-hand corner that does something. If I look at it, say, oh, what's this data graphic look like? What is that arrow doing, right? Well, let's take a look at that because this one's interesting. It's actually a formula, so it's not a property. It's a formula that's doing a calculation to determine which, you know, data graphic is being displayed on that shape. But the formula you can see there is project remaining cost divided by total cost, probably some other stuff on the end of that, right, to figure out what that particular metric is. And down here below you can see, well, if it's greater than zero or equals zero or less than zero, then those are the icons that I want to show for those particular results of that formula, right? And so again, if we come over here and we look at that shape over here on the right, we can see the data properties that are coming from the different data record sets that I've attached to the diagram from that Excel spreadsheet, right? And so that's just where things get interesting because let's go over here and let me do something like draw a rectangle. Let me grab like Washington is red, right? It picked a data graphic I was using earlier. But let's go into resources. Let's pick a resource. Let's drop that on the page. Let's go to project summary. I'm just randomly picking records here, All right, no rhyme or reason. But I'm just picking a record from each one of these different data sets to show that now, right, all of that data from all those different records that I just attached to that shape are all mashed up into that same Visio shape. And this is where I can come in and say, okay, well, data graphics, right? Let's create a new one. And I don't know, let's do, well, cost type issues. No, I don't like any of that. Let's go down and say more fields, custom formula, and let's just pick something like resource cost per use. Resource cost per use is the property name, and I put it in little curly brackets so Visio knows that it's a property and not like width or height or one of the other built-in properties of a Visio shape. You know, divided by, I don't know, that's going to be zero, I don't know, resource max units. That's got a number in it. I should have picked something else, but we'll just do that. So there's my formula, and I'm going to do it by color by value, and I'm going to say that it represents a range. There's my range values. I can add new ones. I can make my range smaller, bigger, assign my colors, and apply that to that shape. And now I'm taking multiple data properties from multiple data sources into that single shape, doing some calculations on them, and then showing the result of that as like a color or an icon or something like that. So, yeah, question. What's that? Blinking. Can I make the shape blink? You know what? If I sat down and thought about it, probably. There's really nothing in, just thinking about that. If you were on the client side, yes, because you can control the data refresh frequency when you're in the client. So if you think about that, the blink might be based off this value that's changing very, very frequently, right? Maybe on a manufacturing shop floor or something, or connected to a piece of equipment, which we have customers that are doing that today with Visio. They actually have Visio diagrams that are connected to, you know, hardware on the plant floor, and they're getting data back, and that's their dashboard. It's just Visio. But on the server side, there's limits to how soon we can do the refresh, especially in Office 365, where you don't own the servers, we do. So we control, you know, for performance reasons, how fast that happens. If you wanted to do something like that in the dashboard, I would say adding JavaScript to the diagram once it's in SharePoint, you could put anything you want on top of that shape and make it blink. I did, just as a test, like a HTML5 little Pong game on top of a shape. So, I mean, I was playing, you know, Pong in HTML5 on top of my process diagram, just to show that you can inject any kind of HTML and JavaScript onto the dashboard side. So there are things you can do like that, but that particular thing, not in data graphics. So the formulas and stuff that are there, that, you know, that's great. Let me cancel that. Before we get too far past, I know that, you know, people are asking me now, like, well, let's take that shape and let's go back to state rollup and let's do a simple scenario here where we've got that color. More importantly, let me actually just show this one right here, because I've got this big shape that I just drew as a background, right? That's all it is a rectangle with this curved line on the side, right? And when it's connected to data, right, this line color changes, right? Could change the weight of it. It could disappear. It could change the color. Obviously, our shape could actually, you know, grow and shrink. Anything that you can do like this in Visio, you can control with data. But it's just a matter of knowing where to go. And part of that is going behind the scenes into the Visio shape to where all the properties are that control what that shape looks like and how that shape acts. And that's called the shape sheet. So I don't know if anybody else has ever heard that term before or even seen the shape sheet. Okay, like two people, three people, four. So unfortunately, you know, it's hard to get to, right? I mean, I right-clicked on it and you see show shape sheet there, but really I got to it by customizing my ribbon, right, and turning on the developer tab in Visio, which is not the only thing you should turn the developer tab on for, because there's all kinds of cool drawing tools in the developer tab, like things like fragment and union, and if you're actually creating your own Visio shapes, you can draw lines and cut shapes apart and do some different things to get what you're trying to accomplish. But you know, aside from tools like that, if you turn developer mode on, right, it lets you right-click on any shape, bitmap, whatever in Visio, and choose to see the shape sheet for that shape. And like I said, it's every property that drives the behavior of that shape. It's width, it's height, where it's located on the page, it's coloring, you know, things like locking. Are people allowed to move it, resize it? You know, you control all the aspects of that stuff. But if we just go to, oh, did I break it? It's got an old formula in there. Well, we can change that. If I scroll down here and just highlight this, we can see that it has a line color property with a formula in it, and that formula is basically just an RGB value of, you know, 255.00, right? But, you know, as the designer worked with me on this diagram, he gave me the RGB values of these different colors, right? And let's see if this one has the formula in it. I don't know why that one was broken. No, that one's not set up either. That's really weird. Okay. So, whoops, cancel. So that's all that was done to get that shape to change, was to come in here and say, oh, okay, that's why. So let's just grab Washington and drop it on that shape in the background. So it changed to this red color, this red fill color, right? Now I don't like the fill color changing, right? So I'm going to go into the shape sheet. And if we look at what has happened here, let me scroll down to fill and just highlight this. That data graphic we were creating that said, oh, if property is less than zero, do this. If it's greater than zero, do that, et cetera, right? Visio took that rule in that UI that we created, and it basically built that formula there that it's probably kind of hard to see, but it says if user.fill value 1.5, otherwise do this, otherwise do that. So it created this formula that's based on that data property, right? And this, I guess in this case, it was status, right? Not numeric value. But instead of fill foreground, you know, I'm just going to copy that, and I'm going to paste it into the line color instead. And then I'm going to change my fill to some generic, you know, color. Maybe it's black this time, right? And so now that formula, I've copied that if-then-else formula that's based on that data property into some other property of the shape. And you can do that the same thing for, you know, if we come back to the shape sheet, all right, let's go down here to the width property. You know, there's width, height, angle, et cetera, right? I can come in here and I can say, if, right, my property status, right? Oops. And we have to do a string comparison because that's not numeric. So, and now I work with Visio a lot, obviously. So I know all of these formulas by heart. But there is a reference online if you start looking at this stuff as to, you know, the if and the else and tangent and string comparisons and all these different functions, just like there is for Excel. A lot of the functions are the same. So I know everybody in here has probably written a formula into a cell in your worksheet, right? This is Excel, just each one of these blue areas is a different worksheet, right? Just think of it like that. Then it's not that hard to visualize it in your head, right? Because all you're doing is referencing cells from other worksheets within this sheet or other sections, right? And I can say, you know, the stir same is, what did we say, red? So then I've got 1 inch, otherwise 2 inches, let's say. All right, let's do something like that. So obviously this is going to look really dumb. But, right, as I come in here, change that to green, right, the shape changes size. So I've just taken a very simple formula and putting into just a different property of the shape. And now the shape is going to change size based on that property over there getting refreshed from the server. If I come down here, and let's just make sure that's set up to overwrite. So let's do a refresh, and that should change back to red, and my shape changed back to 1 inch, right? So that's the information. That's the technology behind these shapes in Visio that's driving all of that stuff. So, I mean, the data graphics are nice because you can go into the data graphic, and obviously, you know, something like this here, right? Or if we come into the org chart, where you have something that's formatted very nicely, like right here, if I dig into this, there's my little Visio shape, right? And it has some formulas in it that if you look there, you know, I've got, you know, this user.percent being calculated, and it's hooked into the width of that shape. So I'm binding it between 0 and, you know, whatever, 2 inches or whatever the maximum size of that shape is that I want it to be. So I know there's a lot here. We dove pretty deep into the capabilities of Visio. But if I was you, I'd just start experimenting, drawing rectangles, opening up the shape sheet, looking at how the data gets associated with that shape. And then, like I said, it's just nothing but, you know, the same concepts that you're used to using in Excel, right? If you come in here and you say width equals, and I come down here and, I don't know, click on any one of these, no object handles, you can see up here, it's just referencing the name of that cell from some other section of the sheet. So just like you do A2 on sheet 4 is greater than this, then the cell is blue in Excel, right? So same thing in Visio. So it shouldn't be anything that anybody in here should be afraid of. I think it's just much more powerful because you kind of have this blank canvas to work with, and you're not sure. You're like, well, how do I do that? Do I use images? Do I overlay objects? Are these all Visio shapes? Well, you know what? I go to the search tab in Visio over here, and I run a search for, you know, Washington State. Nothing comes up. Right? Well, I'm stuck. Visio doesn't have a shape for that. Well, go out on the web and grab bitmaps, grab vector art, grab AutoCAD images, grab whatever you want, and bring that stuff in, right? And then once it's in Visio, start, you know, trying to figure out, well, what do you want to do with it? Do you just want to show arrows and traffic lights on top of it? Or do you want the actual shape to do something and move around on the page and, you know, do things like, okay, well, the data is driving this, but when I come back to this page here and I click on this shape, right? Remember, you're designing the dashboard for the user in SharePoint. You're probably also going to want to put in, right, this hyperlink information that says, oh, when they click on Washington State, go and open up the Washington Projects page and data refresh it and update all of its data graphics and do all of those things. So that's why I say that the Visio is really that dashboard designer, right? When you get into like reporting services and, you know, Power View and these other tools, right? I mean, you're kind of doing the same thing. You're using those tools to build the dashboard and then publish it to SharePoint. You're doing the same thing with Visio. It's just to think Visio, do whatever you want, draw whatever you want, right? I don't think there's a scenario that I have ever come up with like graphically that I couldn't make happen in Visio, right? Because I can import whatever I want, overlay stuff, connect stuff together, formatting, you know. Maybe go out and hire a designer because I have no artistic ability at all. So my if I did this demo and created the shapes, they would all look like just rectangles with line colors and stuff like that. So I definitely utilize people that know how to get in there and make stuff that looks good, and then I get behind it and drive all the functionality with data. So, let's see, we're almost out of time. Let me switch back over here. I know I've got a bunch more slides in here that are basically for your reference. Like I said, feel free to send me an email if you have any questions at all about any of the stuff that I've shown here. I just did a session like this like last week, and I had like 3 people email me like an hour after that, and some of the things I talked about, they had questions on. And I said, you know what, let me just like record a quick link video and like send it out on Yammer to these guys. And, you know, doing stuff like that takes 5 minutes and it dives you deeper into the product and shows you how this stuff can really work. So think about the client, right? Multiple data record sources. That's a very important piece in Visio. A lot of people, I see them, they connect to an Excel workbook and they think they're done. They're like, well, how do I get more data into this table or this range or this pivot table in my workbook? It's like, well, why do you need to get the data into that workbook? Why don't you just connect to this SharePoint list or connect to SQL or connect to, you know, all these other things independently like you saw me do there? And then, of course, are we dealing with data graphics or am I going to have to go and do some custom stuff with, you know, making shapes resize or move around, or am I going to do my own formulas in my shapes, or do I go to SQL or Excel to do formulas, like in that state roll-up thing, right? A good reason to do formulas in Excel to aggregate the data there is maybe I'm going to show my Visio diagram right next to an Excel chart. Well, why do the calculation in Visio and do the calculation in Excel when I can make Excel do it and then just data link to it, right? So these ones, I'll skip over a lot of these because we're out of time unless everybody wants to stick around because it's the last session. But Excel services, SharePoint lists, BCS, SQL, Azure, number of different things. If you say that Visio can't connect to it, I would argue with you because at the end of the day, you can go as far as writing your own .NET code to connect to it. So, you know, if there's no ODBC driver or anything like that supported that Office can talk to, Visio can probably still connect to it because you can write a little bit of code and make it happen. Like I said, a lot of this stuff is for your reference. You know, data refresh through like pivot tables and stuff, going through Power BI and the Power Pivot Gallery stuff so that SharePoint will update the workbook, and then the workbook you're connected to gets refreshed from Visio. So just think about scenarios like that. That's actually a pretty common scenario for people to do, because after they've built all these cool pivots, they wanted to build some cool diagrams off of that, and so they reuse that data connection. We talked about SharePoint lists and BCS. There's a lot of capabilities there for updating SharePoint lists. Let's see, what else do we got? We talked about the custom stuff. And we already talked about the stored procedures. So we're not going to be able to pass, from a supported scenario, we're not going to be able to pass parameters to stored procedures. But we can certainly connect to them, tables and views, that kind of stuff. So with that, I think I'm just going to go ahead and end this session. Like I said, there's some more slides in here to point to even more capabilities of the product, mostly for your guys' reference, you know, down to stuff like the JavaScript API and links out to blog articles and that sort of thing. But I'm going to go ahead and end it now, and I'll stick around for, you know, any questions that you guys might have about what you saw or scenarios that you're thinking of that may or may not be good for Visio, those sorts of things. So I thank you for coming, and have a good night.